Morning. Is freedom the right to do whatever I want? Is freedom the right to be whatever I want to be? Surely we understand that it is not. Even in the United States, which is by far the freest nation this world has ever known, such is not true. You are not free to murder or hurt someone you do not like. You are not free to, as we always say, yell fire in a crowded theater, are you? You are not free to exercise your sexual desires with anyone that you want, anywhere that you want. You are not free to go anywhere that you want to go. So our freedom, while it is the greatest known in the history of the world, has its limits. At the establishing of our country, our founding fathers did not want to create a nation that existed in anarchy. What many in our country today do not understand is that where people are free to do anything and everything they desire, that is anarchy. Freedom within anarchy is impossible because for me to do everything I want to do requires that I deny someone else their freedom to do what they want to do. It cannot happen any other way. For me to have everything I want means that some of you do not get what you want. And so freedom cannot exist in such a system. But people understand that. They don't want anarchy. They understand that that doesn't work for them or for the people as a whole. And while the desire to do what we want unhindered leads to anarchy, what these people ultimately want to do and what sometimes we want to do is seek for ourselves and deny to others. And when we think about that, and we see that in our world, that is the seeds of not anarchy. That is the seeds of tyranny. Understand that anarchy and tyranny are the opposite ends of the political spectrum. And our founding fathers spoke of these two extremes. They had known tyranny in many cases in their lives. They had known anarchy in some places, such as out in the wilderness where law did not reach. So they knew both of these extremes. And it was their desire and it was their goal to plot a course in the middle between tyranny and anarchy. Some have said that the wings of the American eagle fly a course between these two extremes. The first wing of the eagle could be considered the problem-solving or compassionate wing. The wing is sensitive to the unfulfilled needs of the people. While the second wing of the American eagle, it is said, would be responsible for conserving the national resources and the people's freedom. And those of this wing would ask two questions. First, can we afford it? And second, what will it do to the rights of the individual and the freedom for the people as a whole? If Wing One becomes obsessed with the idea of solving every problem regardless of the cost, because Wing Two does not sober Wing One with an understanding of limited resources, then our nation will quickly move toward tyranny. And historically, this is how republics and democracies throughout history have come to their end, and ultimately where they did not exercise any kind of fiscal responsibility. Now, on the other hand, if Wing Two rather fails to solve people's problems, then what the nation is going to do is it's going to move toward anarchy, because people are going to choose to solve their problems themselves. Neither of these is good. If both wings fulfill their assigned function, America will fly straight and strong. If either wing fails in its responsibility, we will fly toward anarchy or toward tyranny. Freedom is a balance. It's a balance between the people's desires and needs and what is best for society. Such freedom requires that there be laws and rules to keep that proper balance. The freedoms that the founding fathers sought to provide our nation were not about loosing people to live however they wanted. They were to provide a society where people would be free to do those things that would provide a good life of virtue and morality. That's what they sought. George Washington understood the need for such freedom and for such morality and virtue that it must exist within the nation when he said, "It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government." Believing this to be true, Washington also understood that there was only one way for such morality and virtue to exist within a society when he said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail to the exclusion of religious principle." And as Dave has already made clear today, when they talk about religion, they're talking about Christianity. George Washington, the father of our nation, believed that religion, truth, and a standard of behavior were essential to maintain the required morality for this nation to stand. Such things must be taught and they must be learned, and that will require someone speaking, won't it? Somebody has to stand up and say something. And that is why it is important that there be freedom to speak the truth of God's word in this nation. First Amendment of our Constitution states this: "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." That is a great amendment, first of the Bill of Rights. The freedom of speech is tied in the First Amendment with the freedom of religion, because that is the speech that the founding fathers felt were the most important speech to be spoken in this nation. Not all the frivolous things that we hear on the news daily today, not all the stuff that doesn't matter, as my mother would say, to a hill of beans. I still don't know what that means. But God, faith, righteousness, holiness, virtue, morality, those are the things the founding fathers wanted the freedom to be heard in this nation. That's why when they talk about freedom of speech, it's connected right with that the government would do nothing to hinder the free exercise of Christianity. It is indispensable to our nation. The founding fathers were constantly talking and writing about morals, religion, and virtue as a part of the government. Time would fail me, and I'm thankful that I have Brother Miller on both sides of me, because he will do all the illustrating of that point himself. He already has done a lot this morning before me. So time would fail me to make those things, so I will move on. But I ask the question, why would men who wrote and constantly advocated the need to teach, not only in our society, but to teach in our schools? Oh, we could sit and we could go over and over document after document saying that Christianity needed to be taught in our schools. Why would men who constantly said that over and over and over then write a document for this nation and say we don't want anything to do with it? I don't believe that they wrote such a thing. I believe we have perverted it into such a thing. I believe they desired our freedoms to be the tool to bring us closer to truth and virtue, not a tool to take us further away. Freedom only works with Christian principles existing within the people, because the principles of Christianity are the principles that strengthen society and make for good and healthy relationships, make for good and healthy citizens. The freedom of speech provided by the First Amendment has always been a tool to allow truth to be presented in the community conversation. It ensures at this time that we have the freedom to bring truth to the moral issues of our day. My friends, there needs to be some truth brought to the moral issues of our day. Somebody needs to be speaking up, because they are loud. May we speak up and be loud too for God. They knew that for truth to have opportunity to be heard, that there must be freedom to speak it. And the principle has often guided our society in the right direction, yet today we see a concerted effort to take that right away. To remove Christianity and all things that pertain to it from the public scene, from the public square, from our public schools, from everything and every place that it might be seen or heard. And as a result, we have seen an acceleration in our nation's decline. Because the only thing that would slow that decline or reverse it they are doing everything in their power to keep away. One of the most corrosive elements to a free society is selfishness and irresponsibility. Selfishness and the unwillingness to answer to a standard, or in other words, irresponsibility, is why people do not want truth to be spoken in our culture. Truth means something greater than you, a standard to live by. That there are things that, if taken to heart, those things would destroy selfishness and they would instill responsibility. They don't want those things. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility for the person who is unwilling to grow up, the person who does not want to carry his own weight. This is a frightening prospect." They don't want to grow up. They don't want to know. They don't want to be responsible. I'm sure we run into people every day that are just like that. Consider the book of Judges. And what was the downfall so often with the people that they did what was right in their own eyes? They rejected the standard of God. They rejected the truth of God. We go to Romans chapter 1. Paul speaks in verse 18 of those that suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And we see that on a daily basis, do we not? The effort to suppress the truth so that unrighteousness can prevail. Verse 25 of Romans 1 states that the people exchange the truth of God for a lie. Dave's already mentioned how many lies are out there, right? In God, the people today have exchanged the truth for the lie that homosexuality is genetic. When verses 26 and 27 of Romans 1 says that they abandon the natural function of the woman. See, that's natural. Homosexuality is not. They exchange the truth for the lie that there is such a thing as same-sex marriage. I'm not talking about same-sex, that there is even such a thing as same-sex marriage. You understand, there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. God defined marriage. And same-sex does not meet the definition. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. And it'll never be. Oh, they can call it what they want. But it will never be marriage. They exchange the truth for the lie that sex outside of marriage is okay. When the truth of God is that we should seek morality and purity in our lives. Founding fathers held these truths to be evident from God. Freedom cannot survive where morality and virtues found in God and God's truth do not exist. You know, we often ask, is it hopeless? I don't believe so, because I believe in the power of God's word. We often pray in our services, and I can think of very few, we pray the prayer that we're thankful that we can assemble here together without fear of harm. That's the First Amendment, folks. God gave us that. He blessed us with that. Not the founding fathers, but God. He blessed us with that we might use that to be truly the pillar and support of the truth. That we are the support of the truth, and that we are the foundation. It is the foundation. We are the foundation that it sets upon. And if we won't hold to it, the church will crumble. But we're to be a pillar. We're to raise up the truth above all other things. Raise it up above the chance of the homosexual agenda, above the murderous claim of choice by those that are pro-abortion. We are to raise it up above the false pursuit of greed and materialism. We are to raise it up above the illogical call for tolerance and the ungodliness of false teaching. Holding this truth up is the purpose of the blessing of freedom that God has given us today. No other reason. That His truth might be heard. To finish up, Abraham Lincoln stated at Gettysburg, "Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war." Friends, we are met on a great battlefield today. And the battle between truth and the lies of the devil will determine whether this nation or any other nation will long endure on the face of this earth. May God bless this country only as long as it looks to Him for His blessings. For without God, we do not deserve to stand. Thank you.